time for a very cold edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass into a friend, which games to, what do you call it? Lunar cycling? What did you just call that thing?
Oh, you mean a Nordic cycle?
Nordic cycling and just freeze
on. Bro, do you
even
work out?
Bye. It's been a while, sadly. It really has. I am Corey. I'm joined by the man who will not be whatever cycling, Nordic cycling.
Bashing. Nordic cycling. I won't be Nordic cycling, but I will be doing the hot sauna, though. No cold plunges.
Never quite understood the sauna thing. I don't. Why do we this?
You sit around with other naked men and just sweat it out. What's
not the love? Like, what are you sweating out exactly?
It, man.
Like, I just. Where did this idea come from where someone's like, what if we just take a room? All right. You know, like how we cook things? What if we like almost cooked people, but we didn't? And then they'll pay us for it.
It was definitely the weirdest guy in the room. And then everyone just said, you know what? He's on to something.
Right. Just let him know. They're like, they just kind of look like, yeah, sure. You do whatever you want. And then he's the guy that's like, why didn't we listen to this guy? Like, he's over there. He's made like, he's got like a Fortune 500 fucking company. And the other people are just like struggling day to day. It's like, God, the really hot room. That was a good idea. Dang it.
Full of other naked men. Like, we're off.
We missed it.
By a couple hundred years.
The opposite of that would be Wild Frost, the game that we're going to talk about today. This was one that you picked. This has been in Game Pass for about a month here. And this is actually one I was curious about, too, because it's a card roguelike. And we have discovered that on this show, we just play roguelikes. And this one, I didn't know it was actually a roguelike until after I started playing it. I thought it was just a card game. But
I didn't know that either, actually.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't notice it until I died three times. I was like, oh. Wait a second. Wait a minute.
Have you figured it out yet? Still kind of.
I was confused because we'll talk about the UI is kind of strange and it's not exactly great at telling you what's going on sometimes. And I was just like, oh, wait a second. these are buffs, aren't they? They don't call them that, but wait a second. You got me. Wild Frost, developed by Deadpan Games and Gatzer. Published by Chucklefish. Take on elements in Wild Frost, a tactical roguelike deck builder. Collect and upgrade card companions ready to withstand waves of deceptively cute pungoons, gobblers, and brutish boss monsters. Test your skills in daily challenges and build up the town of Snowdwell, unlocking more cards to aid in your fight against the everlasting frost. The sun has frozen over, succumbing to the Wild Frost. The town of Snowdwell and its survivors stand as the last bastion against the eternal winter. Build up a deck of powerful card companions and elemental items as you battle to reach the Sun Temple and banish the frost once and for all. It's available on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S. It does have cloud saves as well as cross achievements. Wild Frost. So how long to beat a 12 hours, made an extra 25, completion is 48. Wild Frost. Let's talk about it. Or not.
Hello?
That was odd.
All right. Apologies. I had to sneeze four times in a row.
Interesting. Wild Frost. Let's talk about it.
All right. Let's talk about some wild. Hold on. I have to sneeze again. Do I? Yeah. No, maybe not. Anyway, Wild Frost. Yeah. I didn't know it was a roguelike either. I just picked it because it was new.
And that's what you do.
Cartoony graphics. Essentially, the cartoony graphics made me go this could either be really good or really bad, depending on, these type of stylized games. It's sometimes the style of a substance. But once I saw there was some deck building stuff, I'm like, yeah, buddy, let's do this. 12 hours to complete is an interesting number there, because it's one of those games where those roguelikes where you have multiple classes, and just like the other ones we've played on this show, you start off with the one, and then as you play, you unlock more and more of them. And I say it's an interesting number to finish, because I've not finished a single run yet.
Yeah, I've gotten close to the end. I think that 12-hour number is probably right, simply because the build up, whatever you want to call it, the longevity of like the run is not that deep. It's not like a Slay the Spire or anything like that, where like you're going to, you know, like there's reasons to kind of keep going. Like everything is built upon those, like the town that you basically go through, and building up that town. But there's not a lot past that. There's no mystery to this game, I guess you could say. It's kind of, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, and building up the town is a cool little thing to do, because that's how you get your, you unlock extra companions, extra cards, extra buffs, power ups, things to help you along the way, and you unlock these cards and you upgrade your town just by completing challenges throughout the runs, and the challenges themselves are pretty play as you unlock, yeah, type of thing. Yeah. You have to go out of your way to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like, and if you go back to town, there's one you have zero on, that means it's a mechanic that you're not using correctly, basically.
Right. Exactly. So like just playing a game will get you pretty far, if not unlocking most, if everything. My biggest issue with the game, honestly, comes with just how many different mechanics there are. Like I feel like it's just one too many stats you need to worry about or keep an eye on. Like there's, you expect stuff like poison, you expect stuff like a free block, or you expect stuff like restore health on, yeah, kill.
Your buffs and your debuffs, like you're kind of general, you know, stronger, weaker, etc.
Yeah, but this one is this quite a bit.
Yeah, and like the one that throws me is the snowball. Like the snowball one is weird. Like I know what it does, but like, so the way that the cards look are kind of strange, and like I think the other thing that really throws me off is that they have different like attack sequences. I don't know what you want to call it. So, like when you summon your lead or whatever you want to call him, your captain, it's got like a big five on it. And that means it doesn't attack until five turns or four
turns. Five turns will attack. Yeah. Right. That's so just stamina essentially.
Right. And I don't quite understand the point of that. Like I understand that some cards have different stamina, and that's kind of like where it goes into. It's like, but I don't think that mechanic adds literally anything. Like it's like a weird thing that you have to keep track of that I still somehow mess up sometimes, because the snowball is basically a turn delay, and the turn delay thing can kind of be like a make or break situation, but it's also like RNG. This game is super RNG heavy, like super RNG heavy.
Yeah, that's. Unfortunately, that's, oh man, like I just, there's so much I like about this game, but it feels like there's three games in one here.
Right.
Because with the amount of mechanics, buffs and debuffs, plus the RNG, it's just not fine tooled almost at all. Like the it's just random. It's not RNG, it's literally just random. Like you have the three classes, right? You have the snowball people, the green fire people, and then you have like the builders, like, and I feel like they're supposed to, in most other games you would figure like the snowball people, if you pick that clan, every character that shows up is going to have some sort of snowball attack to them, or the blue fire people, they would have blue fire attacks or buffs or debuffs, whatever, so on and so forth. But it's so random that no matter what class you pick up front, they just have random stats applied to them. The snow people have when it hit an attack, you deliver poison damage. And like, why do they have that? And then the blue fire people don't. And then at the same time, the garbage people have trash on kill, but also they gain one see-through cube, purple cube that just deflects damage altogether for a turn. Like, and it gets all swaps every time you do a new run.
It doesn't,
it's just random.
Yeah, each like they're like you said, there's not a reason to really pick a class. Like there's really not. And so it's even the stuff that you find isn't even like tuned, it seems like. Like it is sort of tuned. But sometimes it's not. Like you said, it's very RNG heavy. And I'm with you, and like when I started playing, I was like, okay, like I'm into this, but there's still some stuff in the UI that is just like it's kind of a mess. I still don't. What does the black jewel do? I still don't remember, and it always messes me up. But also, what does it mean if they've got the little thing on there, like, so it says like three turns, but then there's a snowball with no numbers in it? What does that mean?
So the snowball with no numbers means they have a resistance to snowballing. So you have to snowball them one or two more times to have the snowball effect.
So it's like a shield, a snowball shield.
Essentially.
Okay. That makes a little bit more sense because it does kind of look like a little shield or whatever. Okay. Interesting. So like there's a lot of stuff like that. And it's, again, you can probably pick it up and you can figure it out. And eventually things will start clicking with you, but then the RNG hits you and it doesn't really matter. I think you can make the argument, because we talked a lot about Slay the Spire and Game of the Year and stuff like that. Slay the Spire is a game that is actually pretty similar to this in that it can be RNG heavy. However, for me, what that one is it's the classes. It feels like there are hard classes, and I don't want to say hard classes, but like definitive classes, to where at least I'm going for a strategy with this particular character. This one is just like all over the place. It's just like, I don't know, like whatever comes my way. Like I've been rolled on like a second turn or a second enemy.
Dude,
and like, it's like, I don't even know what happened.
I'm not oh my God. Like it's such a frustratingly well-made game, but at the same time, just a bit too convoluted and random for its own good.
Yeah,
like the amount, you're exactly right. The amount of times where I get to the second or third stage and I don't have a chance. And it's one of those games where we spoke about games like Monster Train, Slay the Spire and stuff like that. We talked about in those games how during a run, you will start picking up certain items or upgrades that feed to the ecosystem that you're creating, to the tactic that you're making yourself. The game's so random, it does not allow you to do that. So like you'll end up encountering a boss fight and you just have random cards that have zero synergy.
Yeah.
And the boss, of course, has complete 100% synergy. And they will actually wipe you in literally two turns with nothing you could have done.
And because there's the mechanics too, to where, so there's basically six slots that you can use, but it's two rows, and you can put stuff in front of your cards and you can move those cards around in those rows, and those don't count. Those don't cost you a turn. But like, let's say you draw, you know, your first seven cards, and you pretty much want to get your, like, you have to put your leader out there first. Like that, you have to do that. But then like you've got companions, you have three companions left, but those are random cards too. So like if you just don't pull a companion in your first turn, like you have to make this decision of like, okay, so some of these cards might be really good, but the problem is now I'm up against a boss and they have three enemies. Like I don't want to get rid of these cards, but I literally, if I don't get rid of these cards and I don't pull a companion, I kind of can't do anything. And so then you've got to nuke those cards that might be really good or crucial to your deck to get to the other companions. And it's like, well, that's part of the game, right? Like that's part of the card balance. It's like, yeah, but like, that's why Slay the Spire is so good, is because you know how to get out of that situation. And I'm not saying Slay the Spire is perfect. Like you can definitely get rolled, you know, in that, but there's a lot of things in that game. And it comes back to, it's like, why would I ever want to delete a card? Like I remember asking that question in Slay the Spire. And when it clicked for me, I was like, oh, that's why I want to delete a card. There is nothing like that in this game. Like it is completely random. It is completely like, you know, you on the map, you go and get a treasure and those cards are completely random. The map is completely randomized.
Just completely like, random.
Yeah, it's like, and like it's, and
I oh, it's so frustrating, man. Because there was one time where I picked the blue fire people. I don't know what they're called. I don't think they have names. But anyway, I picked the blue fire people, and their whole mechanic or their whole thing is it applies a burn effect, if you will. And whenever that burn effect is equal or higher to the enemy's health, they just blow up. And then that burn effect then transfers the damage and or the actual burn effects itself to the other enemies. I'm thinking that's a real cool mechanic. I can see how I can combo that. There are two or three characters that if I get them together, like that, I can get that to pop off really easily. But again, the problem is when you, if I pick the blue fire class, I'm not guaranteed or even more likely to get to pick up companions along right. the way that are also blue fire. Like there's so many times I picked a class just to get class A, just to get two companions from class B and two from class C. And there's zero synergy between all five. It doesn't make a lot of sense as to why they would do it that way.
I mean, like, it takes the deck building, you know, mechanic, and it takes the fun out of it. You know, like the I won't say it takes the fun out of it, but there's a reason that like types exist. There's a reason that you know, my mind goes to Yu-Gi-Oh. It's like you have to build a deck around other cards, and this really isn't that. It's just like, how can I? There's very little buffs and debuffs, and like they're kind of are, but they're not special. Like it's just like, okay, who do I want to buff? There's no synergy, like you said, of now, like the companion cards and the leader cards, they do have a buff or an effect usually that you can kind of like play off of, but they're all the same. It's like either you heal yourself or you do more damage or you buff something. There's no real like crazy effect out there that's sort of, how do I, you know, oh, I'm going to do 100 damage this turn because I set this up right and I did this right. And then all of a sudden I'm unstoppable. Like there's nothing like that. But it's also not the antithesis of like I need the strategy. Like I got to get, I'm doing everything to get this one card out so that way I can hit this thing. Like there's none of that. And so it ends up just being like, you probably do like probably 10 to 15 runs. And then it's just kind of like, you're unlocking cards because you go back to the town. And again, like most of the challenges and stuff are pretty mundane of just like kill 100 enemies. Okay. Like, I guess I'll get that over time. You know, like you can't really mid max that one, you know, I'm just going to kill enemies, I guess, as I keep going. And it's like, ring the bell 50 times. It's like, okay. Like, so you want me to just go and just keep clicking the bell? Like, I don't really understand. And so eventually, like, but this was my biggest criticism of Slay the Spire as well. It's like, some of those cards are critical in Slay the Spire. It's
oh my God.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I cannot get through this without these extra cards. Dude. And they make you work for them. And this is kind of the same way. Like, some of those cards are pretty important cards. And you're kind of on this treadmill to get them. But then you get them. And you said you kind of get on this loop of just like, I'm not really getting anything here. You know, like what's going on here? And it just kind of. I kind of just fell off of it. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. The way they designed the bosses in this in the boss sequences in this game, they're so overtooled and perfectly synergized together with the other enemies on screen, and you're such a random mess that it's absolutely crucial that you get two or three certain cards in a run. If not, you just right. At least speaking for myself, I just lose. I never get on a run in this game and feel like this is the one, I got everything I need. Like I never feel like I put together the perfect thing and it's just so random and I don't know what's going to happen until I approach the boss, and that ignorance is just, it makes the game just that much more frustrating for me.
Yeah, and I think what's also annoying is there's a lot of potential here, but like this game looks awesome. Like I love the visuals of it. Like there's a lot of potential here, and that's the frustrating part, is just like, man, like you needed that synergy. And unfortunately, I don't like this game's actually kind of old. It's like 2.5 years old now. It's clearly not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to get updated. It's not going to, you know. Yeah. So it.
I'm sorry. The other thing that just oof. The other thing that really annoys me is because you're like three classes. by the end of it. And then when you start a run, you can pick from one of the three classes, and each of the three classes has three completely randomized characters you can choose from. If you go through all six characters and realize, I don't like any of these characters, you can't just restart a run. You can't just re-roll that. Right. You have to quit the game and then load it back up and say, give up, and then restart the entire process just to get a re-roll. And that's even if you get six more characters that you can choose from that you like. Like, it is so backwards in some ways. One more thing that just annoyed the hell out of me. The writing on the cards, confusing as hell sometimes.
I will
read a card multiple times, and I don't know what this card does. I have no clue. Until I play it, I have no clue what it does.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, and again, it's the tutorial's not that great. But that's any card game, you know, like, you're gonna like, oh wait, what? Oh crap, didn't know it did that kind of
right.
thing.
Fair enough.
But like, there's definitely sometimes to where like I'll hit, you know, I'll read something. Like, there was one boss that was like, it like eats its companions or something. Like, it was like super strange. And it's like, when he eats his companions, like, he gains their health and their attack, but then also like, you like, when you hit him, he gains attack. So it was like, it's one of those things where like, how do you even come up with a strategy against that? Like, how do I come up with a strategy against somebody who can just eat his companions and power up, you know, like Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon this? like what do you do?
It's not even like he worked to get Blue Eyes out in the field. Right. It's just in his hand. Like, lay down, tribute, Blue Eyes is on the field. It's like, what do I do now?
Right.
Like, the one that really peed me off was the first time I got to the oil guys fight, the oil people.
Yeah.
This up until that point, I've never seen that mechanic. That oil, you hit him with an oil slick, and that oil completely erases. It's called silence. Yeah, silences your card. So anything like one hit, apply this, gone. It's just a regular hit now. It just completely silences the card. I knew nothing about that card, nothing about that mechanic. I faced that boss, and sure enough, he comes out with four or five enemies that all do that mechanic. So I'm like, so I have to kill all of these things, or at least half of them, by the second turn. Otherwise, all my cards are negated. Yeah. And then there's another one right after that where these things are way overpowered. There's one right after that where it's like a confused smoke bomb thing. Again, the boss comes out, the enemies come out, there's four or five of these things. They hit you with the confuse, and you just start hitting your own cards. and it's not just one of these things doing it. It's two, three, four of these things on the screen at a time. And not only that, but they start to multiply, like, the effect on you. It's like, so if you don't have the perfect set of cards by the second, maybe third boss, you just lose every run. That is maddening to me.
Yeah, and it's tough, because that's like the crux of a card game, right? It's
right.
It's how much strategy is too much strategy, and mm-hmm. when is RNG too heavy? You know, like, and that's that balance that you really have to find. And I have a feeling this one is probably pretty divisive, in that it's easy to pick up and play. And you could spend, you know, 50 hours and never really even see the second half of the game, and you might have a good time with it. But if you're somebody who, like, is pretty good at card games and, like, you want to get to the end of it, like, you're going to be spinning your wheels simply because of the mechanics of the game isn't really – you have to sort of build up the town before you can really get good. And that takes a lot of time. That takes, you know, a good 10 to 15 hours. And then to do everything, you know, it's going to be another 30 hours. It's just – it's a really strange, I don't know who it's for. if that makes sense. Like, is it for the hardcore or is it not? And maybe it's, maybe that was their approaches of it's both. Like, you can, it's easy to pick up, but to master it, you're gonna have a bad time, you know. And some people might think that's a good challenge, but to me, it's, it'd be different if it was, like you said, if there was a synergy to my deck that I could try to, if I just need to get better at the game, that's one thing. But it truly does feel just random at times, like completely freaking random. And that's, to me, that's when a card game just upsets me. Like, you're always going to have, like, okay, I got a bad hand, you know, like that's,
yep,
that's going to happen. But when it's like, I didn't get a bad hand, it's like, I needed a 1 in 35 chance to get this thing right. And I just didn't get it this time. But then again, like, that's happened in like Slay the Spire, you know, like, but then, yeah. But it's, I don't know exactly what the thing is about Slay the Spire to where like it didn't upset me as much, but it's, I think what it is that those, when you do get sort of screwed by that game, you at least try to, like, you feel like you can maybe eke it out. Whereas this, like you said, like second turn, you're dead. Like, it's just like, you didn't get the cards that you needed. You didn't play, you're done. And it's like, okay, well, I just spent an hour playing this to get wiped in like 35 seconds. Where at least in Slay the Spire, it's like, I got like 4 minutes into this fight before, you know, I'm like, God, dang it. So I don't know. It's not terrible by any means. Like, I know we've probably spent a lot of time, you know, bashing it. Like, I want to like it more than I do, but the problem is I don't really know who it's for. It's if you're super into card games, I don't think you're going to like it. If you're not into card games, I think you could like it. But then, like, if you're not super good at card games, you're never going to get to the end of it. Because, like, it is one of the most punishing card games ever. So, I mean,
no, it really is.
Yeah. And it's, so at that point, who's it for? Yeah, I don't know. That's where my dilemma is.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's for the same people that like Slay the Spire. They're like, they're like Monster Train, you know, like it's just another one of those games. The difference is those games and the ones we played so far on this podcast, they feel very fine tuned, very play tested, as you like to say. Like, there's a lot of thought process behind what a player gets on their run to ensure the player doesn't feel out of the game completely all the time. Whereas playing through this is just frustrating. It's frustratingly good because the game itself is, like you said, it's not a bad game. It's a good game. There's a lot of cool, fun mechanics here. And then when you do finally get one of those crazy combos, those 4, 5, 6 kill combos, like, you do feel like you've really accomplished something cool and unique. The problem is, it shouldn't happen once every 20 runs.
Right.
This should be something that I feel confident I can pull off. That way, when I come back to a run, I feel confident in the run. I never feel confident in any run in this game. And that's honestly the first time I felt this way playing one of these games.
Yeah, and I think that's like the interesting part, is because I think about, like, I don't know if you've ever watched like Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon card tournaments. They're weird to watch, because there's a finality or a concrete, whatever you want to call it. Like, all the cards are the same. Everybody has the same cards. Everybody builds their deck a certain way. And why Pokemon cards are some of the most like infuriating like tournaments to watch is because it's, everybody plays the same way. Like, they have one strategy. And like,
yep.
even as the commenters are just like, oh, so
this, get the max heat out.
Right. Like, it's like, well, they're trying to get this and then they're going to go for this. It's like, everybody's got one strategy that they're trying to do. And there's not a lot of like wiggle room here. Where this game is, the wiggle room is the stats. Everything is randomized. Everything is sort of, there's no, like, the cards are never I guess that's not true, because sometimes your companions and stuff can be the same, but your leader, your champion is randomized. Like, the stats are randomized. And so,
yeah, completely.
That's kind of where it's like, okay, that's the difference in this game, is like, you might not get a great champion, but then it's like, okay, well, my run's completely screwed. It doesn't give you the chance to take a bad champion and get to the end. Like, if you just get a bad roll, you get a bad roll. Like, start over.
Yeah.
And so, but then again,
that's
like,
nuts to me.
Yeah, the antithesis is like the Pokemon card thing of just like, well, everybody's got access to the same cards, but like there's a definitive, if you like, let's say, I don't know, you want to build it around Venusaur, like there's a way to build it around Venusaur. And so everybody's going to do that kind of thing. And so maybe that's the magic, like you said, of like Slay the Spire and Monster Train is just like somehow, even though those cards are, you know, concrete, they don't fluctuate. It's the synergy between those cards that make the difference. So it's getting those combos and learning those combos. And so that way, like, if you don't get this particular card, you need to know how this card can play into it. And like, it's, you still might be fishing for that one ultimate sort of synergy, but when you don't get it, you don't feel completely screwed. This is the opposite of like, yo, I didn't get that one card that I needed, or I rolled this bad card and now everything is, I hate it here. like I don't.
That's not an overreaction either. No. I mean, let me ask you then, we talked about it a while now. What is that one card? What is that one or two cards for you that if you don't get it in a run, you're like, this is a disaster.
The snowman to where you can, it's a burn card to where he adds 10 snowball. Like
that's a good one.
That one has saved entire boss rushes for me because it's way overpowered. Like that's 10 turns that they basically can't attack. Like, and that could be the difference between, you know, me getting my companions out there and not getting them out there. If I pull that card on a boss in my first hand, I get a little bit of breathing room. Now that just depends on the boss though, too, because some bosses come out with a full freaking force of like 6 cards and it's like, what do you want me to do here? Like, I can't even, like, I didn't draw my companions. Oh, and so I'm just screwed. So it's like, that's a big one. And then, I'm a big fan of the companion. I don't know her name, but basically whenever she gets a kill, she heals everybody. Like that one has come in clutch many
times.
That's
a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Simply because if you throw her in the back and you can kind of stack stuff in front of her, you're usually okay. You know, cause you'll get some kills and stuff like that, but the one thing that I still don't get is sometimes my cards, like I don't understand the 2-row thing. If the cards can attack both rows.
You mean up and down?
Right.
Both rows?
Right. Like, so if my card is on the bottom, why can't it attack the top row? What's the point of having 2 rows? Like the only reason then is to stack your cards and to like take hits for other cards. And like, I guess I kind of get it. But to me, if you can move cards every single turn and it's not a penalty, like it doesn't count as a turn or a move or whatever, why do I need 2 rows? Like that's one I don't understand. Like that's almost the Monster Train thing. Like Monster Train, if I remember correctly, like you had to be in that row, right? Like you, like the person on the bottom row couldn't attack on the top row. Like,
well, that's the thing. Like, that's what I mean. But there's just so many mechanics here that they don't, even though they make sense after a while, they still, even when you make sense of it, you're like, well, but then why anyway? Like, even though I know why it's happening, it doesn't need to happen. Like, it's one of those things.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we just suck at it? That's the real question.
I mean, like, I was really hoping that, because when we texted about it, I told you, like, I have thoughts about this game. I was really hoping that when we got online, that you would say, oh, this game was so easy. Here's what you do. Like, you know, like, here's how I completed, like, most of my runs. Like I wanted to be missing something huge. Yeah. But between the two of us, if we're both screwing up, it's like, nah, I think that's just how it is.
It's probably, like, again, I'm sure this is probably a very divisive game to where a lot of people love it, but we're a little bit more, I don't want to say precise, but like we have like the type of roguelikes that we enjoy. And it's the ones that to where it doesn't need to be so punishing that like randomization hurts, but it doesn't need to be so easy that like I can just get through it. Like it's that hard balance. And there's a reason that everybody loves Slay the Spire and everybody loves Hades. It's because like there's a synergy there that's just missing here. But I'm sure there's people that can play this game and probably make us look stupid. Like, oh no, you just need to do this stupid. You know, like, oh, you just didn't see this and then you can do this. And it's like, yeah, okay, like maybe. But at the same time, I don't feel like that's fun. I don't think that's the point of it in some ways. So it's, again, I just don't know who it's for. I really don't.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to defend here, but at the same time, there's just too much to compare to other games in the genre and say, no, these do it much, much better.
Right. And for me, I think, like you said, one of the biggest things is, like, how is there not an abandon run option? Like, that's
what are you talking crazy about? It's a runner.
Right. That's crazy. Like, and
I should be able to cut every game whenever I want right. to and re-roll. What are we doing? Like, I was so upset when that happened.
I think that's the, like, that's the, if I had to sum up everything about Wild Frost, it's, the game is not overly difficult. Like, let me rephrase that. The game is more difficult than it needs to be, and that takes away some of the fun.
Yeah.
Like, and so you could play this game, have a great time with it, and maybe you won't get as frustrated. But if you're just like, yo, I just got wiped for four runs simply because of bad RNG, I'm out. I think both of those arguments are sound. Like, there is a limit to, like, yo, this is just not fun. Like, I don't, that's the part to where it gets me. So, or it doesn't get me, but.
I will leave it at this. If you do play this game, cause I'm be honest with you, I'm not going to recommend this one. There's too many of these games that are, I think, in this class and better. But if you are going to play this game, I suggest getting the Blank Mask. It summons a copy of an ally. So, and then there's another one. The Blank Mask also summons a copy of your main character too, if you're a hero. Yeah. So get the Blank Mask, and then get to the part in the map that's called the Shade Sculptor. He will copy any card in your deck. Copy the copy mask. Get yourself two or three copies of your hero, and then you might have a chance. Maybe.
I don't remember any of the charms.
Basically, it's one of the copies of all your main card, of your main hero, and then maybe you have a chance. Yeah. Who knows? Probably not.
I don't. Yeah. So I don't recommend it either. Like I said, it's one that, like, I want to go back to because I feel like it's like, man, like, I'm just missing something, but I don't think I am. I think it's just a brutally hard card battler that is deceptive and is probably too RNG. I think that's going to be the difference for people is, like, are you okay with RNG or not? Like, are you okay with a run just being like, you know what? I just got a bad roll. For me, I can take that every now and then, but, like, most of the time, like, you just wasted an hour of my time. Like, yeah. So again, maybe that's contradictory since I'm a huge Slay the Spire advocate, but again, there's just something about it. All right, so when it comes to Wild Frost, first one of the year, we're going to say pass on it. It's a tough one. Like I said, there's probably a lot of people that will enjoy it, but for this one, for the sake of time and for the sake of your sanity, we're going to say pass on it. So, but that is going to do it for this episode. When it comes to the future, what are you playing over there?
I don't know.
Well, okay.
Honestly, if you got it quickly, I am playing, not on Game Pass, Dynasty Warriors 9.
What'd you get that on?
PC.
Is it in your Steam?
It is not.
Oh, you suck.
It's something I got it through other means, but
you got it through that one store.
Yeah, the store there. Yeah,
the store. Interesting. I'm super curious about that, but I don't. What's the word I want to use here? I'll give you $30 for it. Like, I'm not giving you $70. It's just not gonna happen.
Oh, it's at $70. You can't be serious.
Yeah, it's a full price game. So
that's ridiculous. Whatever. All right.
Yeah. Like, I looked on Aniba because I was like, you know what? Like, you might get me for like $45, $50, but it was like $60. I was like, eh. That's one that, like, when it's on sale, I will definitely pick it up just because it's Dynasty Warriors. But I guess the thing that I didn't hear or didn't notice is, like, you play as a create a character?
Yep, you sure do.
You don't play as any of the generals?
No.
That is...
No, I mean, you can switch to them and play, but the main story is...
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, dude, like, I gotta, like Gao Ming or Sun Juan, like, I've been playing with those guys since, like, Dynasty Warriors 3, you know? Like, I gotta...
They're in it. You just don't play as them directly. Like, once you get in the battlefield, you take them in the battlefield as, like, an ally, and then you can switch to them.
That's fine. As long as I can Sun Juan is just, like, he's so basic. He's just, like, I got a sword. But he uses that sword in a way that you just don't expect. You know, like, what's the guy with, like, the wolf shield and the giant axe?
I don't know any of these people's names, the only name I know is Cao Cao and Lubu.
Well, exactly. And it's like, and then you gotta go up to Lubu and get absolutely shredded. Like, that's just,
man,
you have to, like, everybody does it. Like,
I'm telling you, you're going to be a fan of this one because it's not the, they added a little bit of gameplay.
No.
It's just enough to keep it Dynasty Warriors, but it's good business.
Get out of here. Gameplay. Get out of here. You're talking to the guy who's played Hyrule Warriors way too much.
Like, okay. All right. Yeah. You get it then.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. That's secretly one of the best, if not the best Dynasty Warriors game.
Like, oh yeah, I play a lot of that myself.
The second one's okay, but that first one, man, that game is way better than it has any right to be. So, on one of our new guests, Bronson, so this one's a little bit of a cheat, but we're actually playing Diablo Hellfire, which, if you're not familiar with Diablo Hellfire, it was the official expansion to Diablo, but it was not made by Blizzard. It was actually made by Sierra, of all people. And a lot of people for a long time, it's kind of like the prequel trilogy for Star Wars. Like, people, like, crapped on it forever, but then when it officially got, like, re-released in, like, 5 years ago or something like that on GOG, people were like, oh, you know, this isn't bad. This isn't too bad. So we're playing that because, like, obviously Diablo's great, right? But it's like, we're going to talk about Diablo Hellfire specifically. So that's going to be coming. And then we're also playing some Stalker 2, so...
Stalker 2? Oh, is that just on your own? Is that Game Pass?
No, it's on Game Pass.
Stalker 2?
Yeah, that was a day one, sir.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I know I played the original Stalker. I hear it's well beloved, so I might jump into that, actually.
Aren't you playing Metal Slug?
I am playing Metal. Oh, wait. I haven't started yet, though. No, gotcha. I don't count that.
I downloaded that one.
It's downloaded.
Yeah, we'll check that one out. That's one that I'd probably be terrible at it, but it looks fun. When it comes to, like, also the future, so Microsoft is doing their Direct from when you're hearing this in just a couple days. So we'll probably do an episode just reacting to that. But the games that we know will be there are Doom the Dark Ages, Compulsions, what's the name of that game? I can't remember. Why can't I remember? South of
the
Midnight.
One in the Bayou?
Yeah, South of there Midnight. And then Claire Obscure's Expedition 33, which is the worst game for the most exciting looking game. I really want to check that out. And there's going to be some sort of surprise fourth game, and all they know is it's from a Japanese IP. I'm going with Ninja Gaiden, but I hope it's Mega Man X9. It won't be. It won't be.
It won't be that.
But
it will not be.
But
that,
a guy
sir.
Can dream, right?
Dream on, sir. Dream on. It's definitely not going to be that.
The only thing that's, like, kind of strange, I feel like, about this one is like, with them doing a developer direct, I don't think they've ever, like, come out right away and talked about a third party. Like, Claire Obscure Expedition 33 is not, it's not exclusive, right? Like, that's not an Xbox game.
I don't know.
That's not an Xbox game. Like, that's not, is it?
Don't know.
I'm curious now. No, yeah, it's on everything. Like, where it's different, because, like, yeah, Doom the Dark Ages is on everything, but Microsoft owns that game. You know, like, so that makes a little more sense. Microsoft does not own Expedition 33 or that. So it's, to me, like, is that because it's that good? Or is it, like, I guess what I'm surprised is Fable is not here. Where is Fable? I thought for sure.
Bro, I need you to stop checking for Fable, man. I need you to stop. like, you people and your Fable checks are out of control. Like, it's not coming out.
I need to know.
It's not coming out, man. Kojima's going to drop Metal Gear Solid 18 before that comes out.
Yeah, maybe. And then the other one, so next month is Avowed from Obsidian. So that's coming out on February 18th. I'm looking forward to that game.
I'll be playing that.
Yeah, so are you a Sniper Elite person?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
So the new...
It's like Dynasty Warriors. I have to play every, like, third one.
Yeah, the... So the new Sniper Elite is day one on Game Pass. And that's one, like, I played the last one because it had, like, a invasion mode or whatever. So, like, you would, you know, you could, but it wasn't randomized. You could have your friend come in and basically be the person that kills you. So I played that with Chris for a while just because we just liked, you know, screwing up each other's game. But that's one of those series, like, I want to like it way more than I do. But it's just, I play it for a couple hours. Like, yeah, that's funny. Like, it's got the X-ray thing to where I shot somebody and yeah, I shot him in the testicles and, oh, look, it exploded. You know, it's got the fatality thing from Mortal Kombat. Like, oh, that's crazy. And then, you know, you move on. But all right, that's going to do this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with some Diablo or something else. I don't know.
Something else. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.